All right, sorry about that, guys. Looks like space has crashed on us. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me out there. Can anybody hear me out there? Hunter, Jesse, can you guys hear me? Bob, give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear anything. All right, awesome. All right, sorry about that. Just give me a second while I pull everything back on. All right. Hey, Omar, what was the last thing you guys heard? Because I think I was talking for a while before I realized that we got disconnected.
I don't know. I think you have way too much faith in my memory for things that I didn't intentionally commit to memories.
So. You're good. So the last thing I remember talking about was just, operational security, not making yourself a target for online or just in the physical. And so making sure that you never brag about how much Bitcoin you have. And if anybody ever asks you how much Bitcoin you have, your default response should always just be not enough. And again, never dox yourself, never let people know. And so that's just kind of a number one rule. The other one I would make sure is, again, treat your stack like it's worth 100 times the amount it is right now. Don't ever keep significant amount of money on the exchanges. It's they're not secure. It's so easy for them to go ahead and take your money or not even take it, but just be careless with it. And someone loses your money, your whole stack, and that would be absolutely devastating. So invest in a hardware wallet. Personally, I really like the Cold Card wallets. I really like, they're easy and it's not scary. If anybody tells you that holding your own keys is scary or difficult, reach out to us, reach out to me. I'll be more than happy to, answer any questions you have and show you videos. Because again, it is not, it's 12 or 24 words. If you can memorize 3 phone numbers, you can memorize 24 words. It is very simple, and just go over it once a day in your head. So make sure that you practice that. And again, once you get more comfortable with it and you start acquiring, a higher wealth in Bitcoin, I'd recommend doing a multi-signature wallet and having those wallets kind of scattered around, the country, the state, or whatever town you're in, just so that if someone was to do a $5 wrench attack in your home, for those of you who don't know what that means, it just means someone breaks into your house and they have a $5 wrench and they threaten to beat you with it to get your stack.
Coleman, where are you getting a wrench that size for $5 still?
I'm sorry, that was pre-Biden. So I guess it's a $15 attack now, maybe $20. It's been a while since I had to buy some tools. So thank you for keeping me honest, Bob. But regardless, again, you don't want to make yourself a target, and don't make it easy if someone was able to do it. So again, that's what I took away from Randy's comments. I'll throw everything back up in the nest here in a couple minutes while I can get someone else to start talking.
Yeah, I think... Sorry, go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, hey, to Coleman's point, if you've got loved ones or family, especially, kind of in the area, this is a good place to start doing some real security for your Bitcoin, right? If you do trust these people, and obviously this is a big thing, is counterparty risk is lower within your family, and group of friends. So if you have, seed words and login details and all those things, and these people are close by, this is something where you can start to use your network to provide security. So when you set up Bitcoin, seed words and addresses and all these things, what you can do and what I highly recommend is distributing these within your network, where it takes more than just you following a procedure, going over to these people's houses and getting these things. If you can do this, what you're talking about now is amplifying your physical security on top of the encryption security that's already built in. And this creates, you know, absolute havoc for anybody that's going to try to strong arm you or try to threaten you or your family into giving up, you know, your Bitcoin. This is something that I think that should be just more common practices. If you've got, you know, let's just say 24 seed words and you want to split them between, you know, two different families in your surrounding area, you know, if somebody comes to your house, kicks in the door, tries to, you know, make you give up these things through force and coercion, you just don't even have them. And then you start explaining to them, listen, if I show up over here unannounced and within, you know, a few minutes to come get my seed words or my Bitcoin, you obviously know something's going on. And now this is the force multiplier that you need to fend off such an attack, which, you know, basically renders anybody who's trying to do this ineffective.
Yep. And again, go ahead, Eomar.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've seen other people suggest like having like a fake wallet. You know, you got to think like the guy doing that $5 wrench attack probably isn't like a hardcore Bitcoiner. They're just looking for an opportunity. So like the general population, despite all of us saying like use a cold card, the general population still has it on some sort of an exchange. So you can keep like a small token amount that you're willing to lose on an exchange when they come like, you know, if they come for you, you could be like, listen, like this is what I have. I just really like Bitcoin. I just don't have a lot of money. You know, here, take it. And you can just send it to them from your exchange. And then, you know, they'll most likely walk away happy. You know, again, you can't, it's tough. Like, especially like I see like some of the, like the stuff that Bitcoin veterans have out there and it's like, oh, it's a great t-shirt. But at the same time, it's like, like I don't want to like dox myself either. You know, like when I'm out walking around on the street, so it's like, you gotta find that balance. You know, I think it's safer when you're at like an event and stuff. You know, there's a lot of us around. You're probably all right. You know, if you're walking around in like a major city, maybe consider what you're wearing and what you're broadcasting out to the population. I think like my security method, is the exchange, sacrificial lamb that I have there. You know, if that ever came to be. But I definitely recommend a cold card. I like them. I used to have a Ledger, but they kept pushing shit coins on me. So I switched away from Ledger to cold card. I have a, titanium plate, and I know we have a punch plate, as one of the sponsors here. So, you know, you could definitely check them out. But you definitely want it on something that won't burn up in a fire or something. So, and my memory is crap. So, I don't trust myself to remember the words. I have them, in what I consider the next best thing.
Absolutely.
There are, I totally agree with the self-custody piece, especially compared to keeping it on an exchange. But what I will say is there are services out there, for people who just are never going to get into Bitcoin. There are good services out there where you don't have to trust any one entity with your seed phrase. It would take multiple entities, and you're going to pay for that service, but they're available and more will be coming. And so I think, you know, for some people, if it's preventing you from getting into this and you don't have the time to understand how to self-custody, there are a few good services out there that you can vet that don't put your Bitcoin at risk because there's multiple entities involved in a multi-sig. So.
Yep. And again, it's your own comfort level. And so just make sure that you're aware of it. And one last thing I'll hit on before we go ahead and start changing to the next topic is don't underestimate the presence of just having a dog in your home. Again, not just for your Bitcoin safety, but just having a dog. A lot of times just hearing a dog bark inside the house is enough to deter anybody that might have ill intent inside your home. So again, you don't have to have a huge protection dog. I probably wouldn't recommend a little 5-pound Yorkie. Probably not going to do much, but you know, just a, you know, a mid-sized dog. It doesn't really need any training, but dogs are pretty protective of their household. So dog barking, you'll usually stop.
I work from home, so my dog is consistently the employee of the month over here. So added bonus, you get coworkers.
Yeah, personally, I love working with dogs. They always love you. They're never mad at you, and they never talk back. So they're better than working with children or sometimes people. So if you get an opportunity to work with dogs, I highly recommend it. So one thing I want to cover, that was pretty crazy when I read it was, the FBI raids Polymarket CEO, raided his home days after the platform predicted Trump's win. So FBI agents reportedly raided the Soho, New York apartment of Polymaker's 26-year-old CEO and founder, Shane Copeland, early Wednesday morning, confiscating electronic devices. A Polymarket spokesman speculated that the raid might have been politically motivated, calling it obvious political retribution by the outgoing administration after Polymarket for providing a market that correctly called the 2024 presidential election. So this is just an outrageous and obvious overreach of the FBI, and it being utilized as just an extension of the government to attack their opponents. And so I'm going to say it, and I look forward to them being dissolved. This is ridiculous. This is not a, that's not a free country when you can go and do something like that. And I think these people forget that in like 65 days, there's going to be a change of power, and what goes around comes around. And I'm sure that you're going to start causing some unwanted scrutiny on all of these individuals and all of these agencies. That's not going to bode very well for them. And so I hope that they legally go after these people that are causing so much or sowing so much chaos across our country. And I would be fine with them just sitting in prison for a couple of years before they even went to trial. But that's my thought on that.
I'd be fine with them just being unemployed going forward. Like, let's just cut all of these government bureaucrats out, kick them to the streets, and we'll be much better off. You know, that's my hopes for that whole Doge thing is that. And if you look at Trump's cabinet, the only spots there's glimmers of hope so far are like domestically. So I saw somebody say that, like, you know, he sold the foreign departments for $100 million, the foreign appointments for $100 million to Marion Adelson. Maybe that's true. You know, but if the domestic ones actually do their job, especially like the intel ones, then everything else will unravel because they would have to, by definition, go after this foreign country that is running our government. So, you know, that's my pipe dream. I doubt that it'll work out as good as I hope it could. But you know, that's my pipe dream there. But we really need to scale back the government. We shouldn't be, and that's also why I think politics have gotten so toxic, because like, we're not talking about who's going to be president. It's like, who's going to rule over us for the next 4 years. And that was never the intent of our republic, right? We shouldn't be arguing over who's going to rule over us. It should be a very less significant choice in that we make every 4 years.
I actually think, to your point, Omar, you know, this is reaching critical mass. I don't know if Bitcoin is forcing it to critical mass, or the fact that you've just got a lot more people having open and free communication on X, you know, to a certain degree, obviously. When I looked out this morning, I saw that the Hodge twins had Stu Peters on. This episode is going to be dropping on Friday. You know, this is a big moment. Like, and I don't, you know, I'm not into, you know, the conservative politics and all that kind of stuff like a lot of people. But, you know, to be an outsider looking at this and going, wow, you know, these two organizations coming together and talking openly about exactly that, you know, the shadow government that's been running things behind the scenes, like a lot of Israeli. We're in that moment, and with that happening, with critical mass in the populace now, where people are fed up. I mean, and they're visibly upset. To have Vivek and Elon, you know, and I wanted to kind of circle back to this in the beginning anyway. So I think these are probably two of the most important appointees. But what's interesting is you know, obviously there's no funding for either one of these guys, right? You know, constitutionally, they have no power. What they do have is the pulse of the American electorate in the public. And so when you start to see what they're going to do in terms of using AI to boil down where spending is gone, just absolutely absurd. And to bring that to the secretary's and to the president's attention. That, I think that's where this thing gets really interesting, you know, going forward, you know, the first 6 months to a year in. I think, you know, this critical mass where you've got, you know, a whole bunch of things happening, especially on the domestic front, like you said, because the foreign front is not great. But if you've got all of this moving in the right direction and you've got public decree and just absolutely, you know, righteous outcry for the correction here, this is going to, it's going to change everything. And that's one of the things that I am super pumped about. In terms of Elon and Vivek having, you know, any constitutional power, I don't think that's the way it's going to work. And I think, you know, the people who are out there, like Elizabeth Warren and her cronies talking about, oh, you know, did anybody notice, you know, the irony in the fact that they have two heads in terms of efficiency? What they don't comprehend is the fact that we need 99% of the government absolutely torched, put out of, you know, put out of our misery and gone. And I think that takes at least two different people heading up that, you know, and that's, I think that's one of the reasons why they have both of them up there.
Yeah, I think Vivek understands the government, right? And because, like I mentioned before, like he had a plan when he was campaigning on how to do this. And I think Musk understands, at the very least, how to get a technical team together to do this, right? And he understands what is waste and what is not from the technical aspect. You know, a lot of these bureaucrats are probably like in some sort of like relatively technical role that anybody that knows what's going on can look at and just kind of say like, yeah, they're not doing anything. So I think it's definitely a good thing that they're both in there, because you need somebody to approach it from different angles. You know, if Vivek goes in there and he doesn't understand like different like tech titles or what somebody's actually doing, you know, they'll tell you it's critical, and then you find out like, you know, it's used by like five people and nobody cares. So I think it's definitely a good thing. And in terms of constitutional power, I think that they would just be a recommendation engine for Trump, right? Like, cause he has the power through the executive branch to, you know, hand wave, literally like sign away a lot of things. So I think that's like the purpose. So they would just be able to, you know, say like, hey, here's our recommendations, you know, fire all of these people, do this, do that. And he can just say, yep, okay, great, sign it. And then it's done. So they don't really need, something cut out for them, constitutionally. They're just basically directing the president's power.
Gentlemen, go ahead, Shane.
I was just going to say, and the beautiful part of this is these guys are working for free. So they don't need a congressional budget, you know, and that's, I think it's the biggest thing is Congress obviously is supposed to control the purse. In this case, you know, trying to get an office allocated, they don't need to do that. They're just going to do this pro bono and lead the way, which I think is one of the most Bitcoin things ever. It's like, hey, we've got the funding. We know everything that we need to do. We're going to do this because we think this is the right thing to do. And you know, to have a billionaire and a guy that's worth multiple millions taking their time and effort and doing this out of, I think, you know, the love of their fellow man, you know, this is what we're talking about in decentralized government. You know, this is our, you know, our greatest fantasy as Bitcoiners is go, yeah, hey, we can all come together and keep tabs on these people and make recommendations at the same time. This is the people's power.
Gentlemen, is there any agency that you think is important or that we need to keep, or would you just get rid of all of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, answer is fairly clear for me. I'm not a fan of any of these guys. It's gotten so bloated and so corrupt at this point. It's like clean slate, wipe it all down. You know, if there a need arises at the federal level for most of this, then okay, maybe we can have that conversation. But for now, a lot of this just needs to be delegated back to the states per the 10th Amendment. And that's, and that includes also the 9th Amendment. A lot of the rights that people have, you know, paid for in terms of licensing, or any other, you know, form of taxation, you know, that they call other names, like all that per the 9th Amendment and 10th Amendment needs to go back to the people.
I agree 100%. I think they should abolish 100% of it and put it all in the states and then just allow the people to choose. It's easier to go ahead if, you know, I'm in Texas, so it's easier for, you know, Texas does something I don't like. It's easier for me to move to a different state that it more aligns with my beliefs and ideologies. And it's, you can't do that when it's the whole country mandating it. And so, I think they should get rid of all of it.
to your yeah, point too.
I was just going to say, even like at the state level at this point, it's too large a government, right? If you look at states like New York and California, the city centers are destroying life for those outside of the cities. Because what works in a city and what doesn't work in a city is a lot of times the opposite of what works in the rest of the state. So even the city level, like, you know, that's right now the fight is against the federal government, but the next fight is against the state government, right? Like we need to, you know, really severely trim the power of the state government once we fix the federal government. And what you really want is like your local neighborhood to be the one that really matters in your life. And the other ones, you know, not mattering, right? Like there's no reason for the state to be dictating all of these things that it dictates. You know, the only thing like, I mean, it just doesn't work. You know, like you want to have a representative government, then it has to represent as few people as possible. And you know, we've severely strayed off of that by the power of flowing upwards, you know, to the federal government and the state government. So, you know, don't worry. If we win this fight against the federal government, we're turning it against the states next, to dismantle their power as well.
I think you can just tell that the people that we've had on the last week, the guest and people on the panel, are all the same mindset. And I really want to just hit this home before we start wrapping things up, is that on every single topic today with everybody we had come on, everybody without trying to get pushed or nudged said, start at your local offices, start at your local, you know, elected officials. No one has said, try and move the whole country to persuade to get what you want done. Everyone said, start local, start with your neighbors, start with your local communities. And again, for everybody that's sitting on the sidelines wanting to see, you know, the United States adopt a strategic Bitcoin reserve or have a more Bitcoin friendly stance, you need to start local. You need to start with your local shops, your local stores, your local repairmen, your local farmers. If you can start getting them on board, and it'll be easier for you to change their minds than it will be for the entire state or the country, that small little change, that little ripple starts to spread out and you can make a lasting impact. And so I think it's funny, Omar, that again, you just hit on that. Start off local. We'll get rid of the federal government and then we'll just start hitting on the local stuff. So I think that was a great way to end. We didn't even get a chance to talk. I don't know if anybody knows this is going on, but there's, in Congress, there's, like a UFO, briefing where elected officials who had the knowledge that there are UFOs taking place and they have admitted that we, collected non-human technology and non-human bodies, and that the government has withheld this information for years. So if you didn't know that, definitely start doing some searches and look at some of the videos. I'm going to try and go back later today when I get some time to listen to some of the hearings that are going on, but it's pretty crazy. And if anybody has a direct connection with Matthew Pines, if you could just tag him on our show, I'd like to pick his brain. He knows a lot about this. He's also a Bitcoiner. So, he would be a good person to have on the show. So if anybody has any direct contact with him or has an in, let us know and just tag him because I'd like to have him on. But gentlemen, do you guys have any final comments or anything you want to hit on before we wrap up?
Great show today. I think the message is stronger than ever, Coleman. I think you guys are doing a hell of a job with this daily show. Just can't give you guys kudos enough for everything you're doing, everything you're talking about. The fact that you guys have the backbone to come out here and do this and talk about what really, you know, I think, you know, between myself, Coleman and Eomar, Bob too, you know, the three of us up here are at least, you know, Marines. And I think when you've got, you know, your Marines who are some of the first guys that run into bad situations telling you there's an issue and there's a problem, it's not because, you know, we're, you know, racist or any of those kind of things. It's because we're going to be the first people on the front line, if things have to go, you know, the other way. And that's obviously kind of like the white blood cells of the human body. So, you know, it's not one of those easy things to do. It takes a lot of courage. You're probably going to sacrifice any job you might have. People are going to call you a lot of things. So, I appreciate you guys standing in the gap and bringing this message to people because it needs to be heard. And it needs to be heard, you know, through the sane mind and lips of, you know, of military veterans that just want peace. So, you know, kudos to you guys for doing everything you are.
Thank you for that, Shane. Yeah. And again, there's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of issues people like to tiptoe around, and they don't want to make a stink about it because they're afraid of how, it may let people perceive them. But again, at the end of the day, you have to choose between what is right and what is easy. And I always encourage everyone to make sure that you choose what is right, because taking the easy way, usually never fares out to be the best move. So again, don't be scared to take a stance on something that may be deemed, controversial. So just get out there and just believe in your heart. If you're talking from your heart and that's what you believe, you're probably not going to be wrong. So, just go out there and spread the message. And so, on that, I want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who rejoined us. Sorry about crashing halfway through the show. But I really do enjoy doing this with you all. So make sure you tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll recap everything going on, and, tag a friend, bring a friend with you tomorrow. It's Friday. So let's see if we can try and get some more people in here. Again, there's going to be a lot of people who are just starting to find Bitcoin. The Bitcoin searches on Google are going up. So let's make sure that we're pointing them in the right direction. Let's make sure that we're directing them to a space that's positive, and we're not going to steer them wrong. And if you're a veteran or you're just new to this, reach out to us, guys. We're guys and girls. Sorry. We're growing extremely fast, and we'd be happy to assist you along this journey. And again, hanging out with veterans is always awesome. It doesn't matter if we have never met you before and we meet. There's a connection between us. I've experienced with every veteran I've ever met at any location. But when you have a veteran who's also a Bitcoiner, it's just a whole different level. So again, I highly encourage you to get out into meetups, to your local meetups. If there's not one, start it. Be that change. There's going to be a ton of us going to Bitcoin Alaska this year, July 5th and 6th. So there's a link up in the NAS. Click that link, get your hotel, get your tickets. It's going to be an amazing time. You're going to meet us in person, but you're also just going to explore one of the most beautiful places in the country. So check that out up in the NAS. But that's all I have for you. Get out there and have a fantastic day, but do not shitcoin. It's like buying a lottery ticket with yesterday's numbers.